This July 4th at Lowe's, get up to 45% off select major appliances. Plus, save $80 on a select Charbroil Performance Series gas grill. Now $299. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/8. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Despiértate, que el $4 Breakfast Meal Deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un Sausage McMuffin o Sausage Biscuit, Hash Brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu Meal Deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moda Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prize. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the Rust Alex Baldwin movie shooting trial
from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Now, back to the courtroom.
Sir, I'm going to approach and show you defendants EE and FF, and I'll ask you if you recognize these two documents.
I do.
You need readers?
No, that's okay. Yep.
What are those documents?
This is an invoice made out to Rust Production with Sarah Zachary here as well.
And which, can you look in the back of the one you just looked at and see what the sticker number is on the back of the page? Just flip it over.
Hey.
Yeah, that little sticker. FF, does that say that?
That says FF. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you just read for the record from FF, and what is EE? The other exhibit?
We haven't introduced you.
No, I was just going to ask to move them in, Your Honor. Just have them identify EE.
Okay. So FF is an invoice for blank ammunition as well as dummy rounds.
Okay, and is that your invoice, sir?
Yes, it is.
And is it the same for EE? If you could take a look at that.
And this EE is an invoice for guns, replicas, rubber guns, gun bags and socks.
Okay, and not get into the contents, but you just recognize that, do you not?
I do,
okay.
Yeah.
I would move for the admission of those two exhibits.
No objection.
EE and FF are admitted. You may publish.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Defendants.
So, Mr. Kenny, I'm first going to show you defendants EE, and you were just telling the jury, can you just summarize this and don't go into every item?
Sure. This is the gun replica and rubber invoice to the Rust Production from PDQ.
Mr. Bowles, hold the exhibit real quick. Can we approach one?
Yes. Okay, Mr. Kenny, if you can just summarize that for the jury.
So that invoice is from PDQ to Rust Production for firearms, replica firearms, as well as rubber firearms.
Okay, and now I want to show you. And this is what you, and the one we just saw, this is what you supplied to Rust, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now I want to show you defendants FF. And if you can summarize this document.
It's a invoice from PDQ to Rust Production for blanks, blank ammunition, as well as dummy rounds.
Okay, and then if I want to show you the second page of that. And what does that say on the second page?
It says dummy rounds 4440/45LC long Colt and 12 gauge.
So is this the line where you You invoiced for those 45 long colt rounds?
It is.
Okay. And so you put this together in a group with the other types, correct?
Yes.
And the numbers on the left column, so you start at your dummy rounds, 44, 40, 45, then there's a number, 200. Is that the quantity?
That is the quantity.
And then the price per item is right next to that, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, these dummy 45 and other dummies, did you rent these to Rust?
I did. What was listed there is not inclusive of actually what was provided to set. There were some, as I recall, there were some 44 Henry dummy rounds. Possibly some 45-70. I don't recall exactly.
Were there other invoices?
No.
Okay. So there were certain items that you did not invoice for.
That's correct.
Okay. And did that also include what's called primed cases?
No, prime cases would not be in the dummy round line of the invoice. That would be listed out separately, because one is a consumable, the other one is a rental, and prime cases would be a consumable.
And I want to talk a little bit about that, but you provided Sarah Zachary some primed cases for Rust, correct?
Not that I recall. I mean, I'd have to look at the invoice.
What is a primed case?
A primed case is simply that. It's a ammunition case that has a primer without gunpowder. Typically, Joe Swanson crimps the end because what happens is that they're too long. If he doesn't crimp the end, they're too longer to actually be functional in a revolver. And they're simply, you know, like a loud cap gun when they go off. They're good for training. They're good for around horses and kids. And certain armorers will rig them up in theater as well. Live theater will use them with talcum powder for an effect with minimal noise and also for close proximity.
Do you recall telling Detective Hancock when you interviewed with her that you had given a number of prime cases to Sarah, and it will be interesting to see what color primers they have?
No, I don't recall that.
If I showed you your interview transcript, would that refresh?
It would help, yeah.
Okay. It's page 32. Did you indeed tell Detective Hancock that you had given a number of primed cases to Sarah?
Well, it's interesting because it says prime cases, and that I would have said primed. I never say prime cases. It just sounds like you're ordering some off of Amazon. So I don't recall that conversation. I don't even know what I'm referring to in that conversation.
Well, do you recall that there was discussion about those being there, and that you looked for a picture to show Hancock?
No, I don't remember.
Okay. Do you recall stating that chances are they'll all have the same color primer?
I just don't remember the particulars of this conversation with Detective Hancock.
But do you recall at all, regardless of the conversation, that Sarah Zachary had primed cases on the set of Rust?
If they're on the invoice it's a blank round, and I would include a primed case in a blank round invoice, because again, it's a consumable. I would not be surprised if they got primed case blanks, let's call them.
Well, sir, don't you know you provided that to Sarah Zachary?
No, it was two and a half years ago.
But this was a traumatic event for everybody. You talked to, you remember that, don't you?
I remember it being traumatic, yes,
no,
absolutely.
You remember providing those cases because you discuss it for five pages in this.
No, I don't remember.
Do you recall during this conversation as well that you called a man named Troy Teske?
I've called Troy Teske a number of times in the last 6 years.
I'm asking you specifically, during the interview with Detective Hancock, November 1st, do you recall that you called Troy Teske?
In the interview room, yes, with Detective, at the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office, yes.
Yes, because he was at lunch, you called him, you were trying to reach him.
Now I understand what you're talking about.
Okay. And do you recall also calling Joe Swanson while you were sitting down with the detective?
I do.
And do you recall when you asked Joe Swanson whether he had put these in boxes, how many rounds he had made in total? He said about 700, is what you said. Do you recall saying that he had made about 700 rounds?
I have a vague recollection of the conversation with Detective Hancock, yeah.
And as you're talking to Joe Swanson and you ask him if they were in the box or the green ammo can, do you recall he's on the phone with you and you're asking if they were in the green ammo can, and you say,
"Shh."
Okay, Mr. Kenny, do you recall you said, as you're on the phone, "Shit, shit, shit." I'm like, "Oh, God. Well, I mean, still trying. Damn." You recall saying that?
Vaguely, yes.
You also recall saying, you said it twice. You said, "Shit, shit, shit. Well, she still didn't do her effing job." Do you recall saying that?
That sounds like me.
Okay. So, when you find out, and I don't want to get into what Mr. Swanson told you, but when you find out, whatever you find out on the phone, you say "shit, shit, shit" twice.
Mm.
Why did you say that?
I think I was worried that it was going to be some of these rounds that Thale had given to Troy Teske and had been using, to shoot, right? Shooting live rounds, that somehow they migrated in some of Thale's leather or, through Hannah in some way, and that, again, we were going to be here saying Joe Swanson live ammunition when he's primarily 99.9% of the time he just provides movies and television shows with blanks and dummy rounds, and that's an uncomfortable situation for Joe Swanson.
So you just gave a long explanation and you just tried to blame Hannah in that, didn't you just now?
How did I do that?
You gave the implication that you were worried that this was going to be some that Bill had and Troy was shooting, and again, that's to try to link it to Hannah, isn't it?
No, okay. just telling you my thought process at that point, trying to figure out where did the Rust live ammunition come from, and was it going to, point back to Joe Swanson?
Okay, and do you recall on July 11th, 2023, you interviewed with myself and Miss Morrissey You call that, sir?
Yeah, the Zoom meeting, yes, I recall that.
And do you recall when I asked you the same question, shit, why did you say shit? You said, I don't know. And that was the extent of your answer. You recall that?
Yes.
So back in July 11, 2023, your memory, would you agree with me, would be fresher to that time frame when you said it than it would be now?
Well, not if I had reviewed things or something else jogged my memory of that event, or, you know, because it was a highly, it was an emotional time, and that the, you know, I found that largely when things are emotionally charged, there kind of needs to be some kind of gateway between the present and recollecting how I felt and the way things were at that point in time.
And I understand, but would you agree with me? You gave a different answer on July 11th, I don't know, than you do today.
Well, I don't know if I don't know is really an answer, other than at that moment in time after us discussing it, I hadn't thought about saying shit four times in an interview with a detective.
The rounds, again, that went to 1883 came back at some point to your place. Again, some of those reloaded rounds from Joe Swanson were Starline Brass.
So the 1883 cowboy camp, training camp, just to be specific, yes, some of those Thale Reed, Joe Swanson reloads came back to PDQ in Albuquerque.
And as well, some of your dummy rounds also were Starline Brass, correct?
Correct.
And they had nickel primers?
Correct.
Okay. And the live rounds found on set that were Starline Brass also had nickel primers, correct?
On the set of Rust?
Yes, sir.
From the evidence photos, yes, those were nickel primers.
As well?
Yes.
Okay. And in addition to providing replica firearms, did you provide rubber firearms to the set?
To the set of Rust, yes.
Okay. Did you provide over 3,000 rounds of ammo?
I don't know what the total of, if we're referring to
blanks.
I don't know what the total is of blanks to Rust. I've never totaled it out. Well, other than the invoice, that would have been the only time.
Okay. When you would get a request from Sarah Zachary for additional rounds that were needed, would she come pick those up from you at your place?
I think once once the initial supply of blanks and firearms were provided to Sarah, there was only one other occasion that I can recall Sarah coming and getting anything for Rust from me, which was on October 12th.
Okay, and do you recall Sarah and Hannah coming before Rust started to your place?
I do.
And at that time, didn't you give Hannah her leathers, as well as firearms and ammunition?
I vaguely recall that she got that then.
Because, in fact, Hannah had mailed you the leathers back from the old way at the end of that set. You recall that?
Yeah, she had shipped everything from Montana to me in Texas.
And so when you received those in Texas and the leathers and everything else, you brought them back to PDQ Props?
That's correct. They were, the leathers were in the same box. They never got pulled out. The replica firearms did get pulled out, but the rest of the leathers remained in the box.
Okay, sir, then you gave that to Sarah and Hannah for their use on the rest set. Is that fair to say?
Well, whatever she was going to do with it was up to Hannah and Thale.
Okay, but do you know they got used on the rest set?
I don't know that. I can assume that's where that leather went to.
Okay. Now I want to ask you some questions about the dummy rounds that you answered earlier. You did indicate that dummies that do not rattle can be dangerous. Is that right?
Dummy rounds that do not rattle are not dummy rounds to me.
Okay. And I think you said, because it is dangerous when an armorer is trying to figure out, maybe in a high-speed environment, maybe things are going on, you're trying to distinguish between a live round and a dummy, and it will not rattle. It doesn't rattle. Didn't you describe that as being a dangerous situation?
Well, certainly, because you don't. It's like a firearm that you can't check is unloaded. You have to assume that it's loaded or that the round is live and it's not a dummy round.
Yes, sir. And you also stated that you would not source those type of rounds like Denix rounds that do not rattle, right?
That's correct.
And it's one of the things you said that you would not be in favor of having a mixture of dummies, some that rattle, some that don't. That's a dangerous situation, isn't it?
Well, it's you know, I work with prop crews a lot. They're not specialists, they're not armorers, but they are charged with the responsibility of having gun belts and dummy rounds on set. And if they get the idea that dummy rounds don't necessarily have to rattle, bad precedent, deadly precedent.
It sets a deadly precedent, and on this set on Rust, you're aware that there were those types of a mixture of different types of dummy rounds, are you not?
Well, I wasn't aware of that.
Well, you weren't before, but you are now, having reviewed the pictures.
Yeah, the Denix round is a costume round that doesn't rattle.
Okay. So after you reviewed the pictures from set, you're now aware that there was a dangerous mix of types of dummies, some that rattled, some that didn't.
Well, a Denix round is not dangerous. It sets a dangerous precedent.
Okay.
You know?
And I'm not saying you can fire it. I'm just saying, in your words, it can set a dangerous precedent.
Yeah, yes. It's not an ideal situation. Not at all.
Okay, sir, I want to talk about your interactions with Detective Hancock in this case. When the case started, do you recall you had a meeting or call with her maybe the same day as the shooting incident?
No, I don't. With Detective Hancock?
Yes.
On October 21st? Mm-hmm. Don't recall it at all. I don't think it happened.
Okay. Do you recall that on the course of time after that shooting incident, you called Detective Hancock over 40 times?
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Do you think it might have been higher than that?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. And during that time, you're sharing information with her, she's sharing information with you, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And doesn't she share you materials from the investigation at times?
The first time that I think she showed me anything was when they were executing the search warrant on the prop truck. She was showing me, I think they were black and white, grainy photos.
Okay.
That was the first time I saw anything.
Now, do you recall providing Detective Hancock some of the live rounds before the execution of the search warrant?
I did.
Okay. So you provided her some, and was that in a bag, or how did you give those to her?
Well, interestingly enough, it came from that jammed lever-action rifle, and they happened to be the semi-wad cutter live rounds. They were in a small Benelli shotgun choke bag, and I had written on there in black ink, live. And there were between 5 and 7, I believe, that I gave her.
Okay. And you volunteered those to her, and she took them. Then they came to search after that. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And again, there was a month time frame or so, roughly, between the shooting incident and that search of your place.
Yeah, I believe it was over a month. Because it was after Thanksgiving. So, yeah, over a month.
Did you have any inkling or thought that they were going to come search?
No, not at all.
Even though you had been in contact with the detective and other people before that, and you knew they were investigating?
I knew they were investigating. I had no reason to believe that they would be executing a search warrant on my business.
Now, did you provide your DNA to Detective Hancock?
No, I did offer it, though.
You offered it?
Yes.
And they did not take you up on that?
That's correct.
And they did not take your fingerprints either, did they?
Well, my fingerprints are in the system already. If you're a federal firearms licensee, that's just part of the licensing, is that your fingerprints go into the digital federal system.
And I understand that, sir, but my question was, did they take your fingerprints?
Again? No.
Okay. Well, they didn't take it the first time. That was somebody else.
That's true. Okay.
Now I want to ask you a different topic. After this, you were asked on direct if after this October 16th accidental discharge, you had had an argument with Ms. Gutierrez-Reed. Do you recall that?
By text message, yes.
Okay. And you recall after that you wanted to fire Ms. Gutierrez-Reed?
It wasn't that I wanted her fired because it wouldn't be for me to fire her. She can tell me to go to hell all day long, and it wouldn't make a difference to the Rust production. It doesn't, you know, I've got five sisters and two daughters. I'm used to it. So if Rust production is happy, and they were, you know, Sarah Zachary said she's a great armor. That I've seen the defendant Hannah, she sent me the text message that the director had sent her after a big shootout on blank ammo shootout, big
and,
shootout.
And Mr. Kinney, my question was pretty simple, and
okay.
Let me ask it again.
Okay.
You just testified that you did not want to get rid, that you did not want to fire Hannah. Is that your testimony?
It's not that I wanted her fired. She was doing a horrible job at props. That was an issue.
Okay, you answered my question, and I just want to know. It's a real.
I had mixed feelings about it, and I think that's why, you know, in fact, I reached out to two common friends with Thale saying, this is the situation, you know.
Okay, well, do you recall in your interview on November 1st stating, she was just being an idiot. I wanted Sarah to get rid of her.
Collectively, yes. I mean, you know, even now, frustrated with her, but at the same time, you know, understand, well, you know, what she's up against. So it's a mixed bag of emotions, and ultimately was not my call.
My question was, did you remember stating that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's what I asked. Now, do you also recall in the July 11th interview stating, well, I wasn't going to work with her again in the future? So you wanted her fired.
I just, again, it was, there were some mixed emotions and in the situation. If I really wanted her fired, I could have gotten her fired.
Let me ask you that. If you could have gotten her fired, you could have talked to somebody on set. Who was your contact on set?
It would have been, Gabrielle Pickle was, actually Angel Nijem was my first contact with production at Rust. And then it was Gabrielle Pickle, line producer, unit production manager, Roe Walters. Those would have been the ones to fire her. Sarah Zachary was, she was willing to work with Hannah and get the movie finished.
And
council approach?
Yes.
Break for lunch. Okay. Why don't we see you back here at 1:00? Please don't talk among yourselves or anyone else about the evidence received here in court.
All rise.
Hey everybody, Law and Crime's Jesse Weber here. Thank you so much for watching our coverage of the Rust trial of Hannah Gutierrez-Reed. You know, this case makes me think about how people get hurt in all kinds of situations that should not happen. And if you do get injured, it is so important to know your rights and whether you should be compensated. That's why I want to highlight the official sponsor of this week's live trial coverage, Morgan & Morgan. They are actually the largest injury law firm in the whole country. And if you're going to take on big insurance companies that often lowball insurance offers in these cases, You need a big firm that's willing to fight. I mean, in the past couple of months, Morgan & Morgan saw verdicts of $12 million in Florida, $6.8 million in New York, and $26 million in Philadelphia. Now, mind you, these are all considerably higher than the highest insurance offers for these accidents. But what also makes Morgan & Morgan so special is that they have completely modernized the process for their clients. They make it super easy because you submit your claim, you upload documents, you talk to your whole legal team, all on your smartphone. That's it. You can see if you have a case in just a few minutes. And in terms of price, you only pay them if you win. There's no upfront fee. Maybe it's not that surprising that 3 million people call them every year. So if you're ever injured in an accident, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. You can submit a claim in 8 clicks or less without even having to leave your couch. To start your claim, visit forthepeople.com/lawandcrimelive.
Please continue.
Thank you, Aaron. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Kinney, before lunch, we talked about that you had approximately 125 live rounds from the 1883 set that came back. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
And you also testified that the state took 10 live rounds total from your place, correct?
I don't recall that. No, they from the 45 Colt ammunition, they took all of them.
And there was, we've seen the pictures, there was 10 total on what was shown today. Do you recall that testimony?
10 live?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe we need to approach to sort this out.
Mr. Kenny, do you have reloading equipment?
I don't.
What?
I don't.
Hey, do you recall on the interview on July 11th, 2023, I asked you if you had any reloading equipment, and you said, I do?
Possibly in California. Possibly.
Okay, does that mean you do have reloading equipment?
Well, PDQ doesn't have reloading equipment, and we don't reload.
Okay, sir, but do you recall when I asked you, now, do you have any reloading equipment, your answer was, I do.
Personally, in California, there may be. I haven't seen it in years.
Okay, and you know how to convert a dummy round from into a live round, don't you?
Hypothetically.
Yeah, because hypothetically, don't you recall telling Detective Hancock that if the camera crew, and let me just get the wording so I don't misquote it. if the camera crew wanted to send a little going away present, and then you described the process. Do you recall that?
No, I don't recall it.
If I showed this to you, would it refresh your memory?
Sure.
Okay.
How far do you want me to read down?
Just the highlighted portions.
Okay.
Mr. Bowles, is that the July 11 transcript?
That is the November with Detective Hancock.
It does.
So now do you recall having a conversation with Detective Hancock about how one could turn a dummy into a live round?
Yes, yes.
And can you tell Jerry, how would you do that?
Well, the easiest thing would be to have reloading equipment, press out the inert primer. If we imagine a dummy round where the bullet is actually pressed into the case, and you had an inert primer You'd need a fairly complicated setup of reloading equipment. You need either a kinetic bullet puller to remove the bullet from the case. If you used a set of pliers, it would mangle the bullet and prevent seating afterwards. In a die, if you had reloading equipment, so you'd have to somehow remove the bullet from the case. We're assuming there's a BB or a number two lead shot rattle that would have to be removed. You'd have to have a decapper to press out the inner primer. And then you'd have to, you could use the same bullet, assuming it wasn't mangled, and you'd have to have a live primer and a charge of powder, and then be able to have the appropriate dye and seat it to the appropriate depth, as well as putting in, again, the fresh primer, the primer pot, you know, primer installer.
Okay, and then you'd have to get the proper amount of grains of powder in there as well?
Yes.
Okay, and what would that generally be?
Well, historically, I think in the pre-1900 era, it would be roughly 28 grains of powder from memory, if that's correct. And then it depends on the powder as well, all the way up to the case capacity, which means essentially you fill it up all the way and maybe even press the bullet into the case so it's compacting the powder.
Okay. Now, I want to go over something you said before lunch on the leathers. You said that these were mailed back from the Old Way movie by Hannah to yourself, and that you provided these to her, correct?
Yeah, they were shipped back via FedEx.
And they were shipped in a box from the Old Way, and then you never removed them from the box, correct?
That's correct.
So, but then, would you agree with me then that those leathers were then used on the Rust site?
I don't know that. All I know is that box, and I'm unaware of the quantity in there. I did take a photo at the time. I don't know how many were in there and whether or not they used them.
Okay, so you opened it up and you looked in it.
Yes, I opened it up. I took a picture.
Okay. With regard to the prop truck search, we didn't talk about that yet. When you went to the set on October 27th, you already had the code to the safe, correct?
Yes.
And Sarah had given that to you?
Yeah, she sent it to me by text.
And Sarah was technically your employee of PDQ Props, correct?
Sure, she was the representative of PDQ for the Rust production.
And she's the one that called you right after the shooting incident. You all talked for 30 seconds to a minute. Is that right?
It was a very quick conversation, yes.
And your testimony under oath is that you did not tell her to throw any of those rounds away?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay. But then she did throw them away.
I learned about that months later.
Okay. And did you know that guns had been transported from the cart?
No.
Did you tell her to do that?
No.
Okay. Did you train Sarah before she worked on Rust?
I did.
And you trained her in what, in gun safety or what?
Yeah, the basics of using blank adapted guns and blanks and dummy rounds on a set.
And I take it you never trained her to throw away dummy rounds after a scene.
Oh. Well, I don't recall that conversation or even indicating at what point you would want to throw away dummy rounds.
Because they're rented, right?
They are rented, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Now, you also gave Hannah shells on the Old Way movie, spent shells. Do you recall that?
Spent shells? No.
You didn't provide her two bags of spent shells?
No.
You knew that Joe Swanson load Trail Boss type powder. That's one of the powder he uses, correct?
After, sometime after a meeting with Detective Hancock, trying to trace down the origin of the live rounds found on Rust, that was part of the questioning of that I did call him and say, do you recall?
And don't get into what he said.
Okay.
But your impression after it was that your understanding is he loads Trail Boss powder.
There were, yes.
Okay. You also remember telling Detective Hancock after you called Troy Teske that he was willing to provide a box and a half of reloads, the same batch from Joe Swanson?
I remember that conversation. I don't remember the quantity of which he was willing to provide.
Okay, so in any event, whatever the quantity was, you knew that Troy Teske had rounds from the same batch of live reloads from Joe Swanson.
That's what I understood.
And you understood that he was willing to provide those, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I want to show you, sir, some of the pictures that have been introduced, and I want to go over these with you. First one, Mr. Kinney, is defendant's L-18, and I want to show you this photo. Can you tell the jury what this depicts?
It depicts a shelf at PDQ's office in Albuquerque with a blank supply.
Okay, now I want you to look at the box at the top that says, let me see if I can zoom in, 30 Mauser. See that?
Yes.
Does that appear, the font, similar to the font on the box that we saw earlier? It was in Lieutenant Benavides' vehicle in the set of Rust?
Well, I recognize that as a Joe Swanson label.
And you have Joe Swanson labels then in your business, correct?
Yes.
Now, the other thing that I've noticed on some of these photos, and I'll show you, but that some of them have JS, some of them don't. Is that a fair statement?
I noticed the JS. I don't notice when it's omitted.
How do you get those labels? Do you make those labels?
No, that's all a Joe Swanson manufacturer and supply.
Okay. I want to show you defendant's L-15, and that's, we've seen this earlier on a different angle. This is more of a close-up. What are the boxes to the right of the shelf?
I know that shelf fairly well. There's a mixture of, on top, we've seen a collection of what appear to be 12-gauge blanks.
Okay, and then how about the boxes underneath? And I'm going to point to these boxes in here.
Yeah, more blanks in stored in bulk.
Just stored together in bulk?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Kinney, how about these loose rounds in the bag up here by the firearms? You see those? Not loose, they're in a baggie, are they?
Yeah, again, stored in bulk. From memory, I think they're 500 per bag, approximately.
What type of rounds are those?
They look to be .223.
Are you certain?
No.
Okay. How about defendant's L-2? What is this scene? Jeez, sorry. What is this scene here, defendant's L-2?
That's in the backyard.
And what
of PDQ's headquarters, or PDQ's space in Albuquerque.
What are all the boxes there for?
They're just waiting to be thrown out.
Okay. And, you know, how long they've been sitting there before they were thrown out?
Well, in that pile is, one of the boxes is from the shipment of the new guns from Pieta. Some of it very recent.
And from Pieta before the movie?
From before the movie, correct.
Okay, so that would have been in October, early October, when you got that Pieta. So this was late November.
Yeah, so they've been there roughly a month.
Month and a half. Okay. How about defendant's L5? Can you tell the jury what this is? Is that
It's the same view, the same stack of boxes looking to the side gate exit entry.
So how about the Fenix L6? Can you tell the jury what's in that picture?
There'll be a lot of empty gun cases. Some of them are populated with guns and other props. Underneath, there's a bunch of locked cabinets with firearms and other various props inbound and outbound.
Okay, so some of these are live or real weapons?
Yeah, primarily these are going to be live. I'm going to say 90%. There's also the possibility that there are other things in there that are inert or replicas.
Okay, let me show you Defendant's L10 now. And can you describe what room is this in PDQ?
That would be the coffee room.
Okay. And that's the coffee room. Now, is there any ammunition stored in the coffee room?
No.
Okay. I want to show you now L32, if you can tell the jury what this picture is.
That is the bathroom with blanks, and what appears to be at the very bottom is indicated live ammo of the gray bins.
And so you've got live ammo, and then on top of that, do you have blanks or dummies?
Those are all blanks.
Okay. So you've got them, and they're not in the same container in this picture, but you've got them all stacked up on each other, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And is that something that you would commonly do, is store this live ammo in the bathroom?
No, not commonly. It was just short on time and offloading the Sprinter and got to put it somewhere quick and get back to Texas or California or whatever it might be.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Kinney, then I want to show you if you recognize Defendant's L35. That's a box that says 45LC. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
And what is that?
That is a box that that I populated with Thale Reed's 1883 Cowboy Training Camp live ammo.
Okay, now, on that particular box itself, it's not marked live, is it?
No.
Okay. And so the rounds around it and in the box, do you know if these loose rounds are live?
I would assume that they are live.
Okay. Do you recall what the Fenix L40 is?
No, it's Thale Reed's green ammo box.
Okay. And that was found in PDQ props?
Correct.
Yes, sir. Then I want to show you earlier, this is the Fenix L43. Earlier, you talked about this photo. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and I think you said that this was the dummies you had provided, correct?
Yeah, before polishing and populating in the white box provided to Sarah Zachary, yes.
Okay. Now, as you look at this photo, this round up here, isn't that a blank?
Yeah, that's a spent blank.
And then how about this round right here, right where I'm pointing here?
That's another spent blank.
Okay. So this was not all dummies. This also had spent blanks in it.
Correct.
Okay. Now, the sheriffs did not seize this. They did not seize these at the time of the search. Were you aware of that?
Yes.
Okay. I want to show you Defendant's D. And if you can tell the jury what this is?
That's a maintenance bench.
A bench to do what?
Maintenance of firearms.
Okay. So this is where you maintain the firearms?
Yeah, there's gloves there, and you have some cleaning products. That would be one of them, yes.
What are these rounds down here? They look like shotgun shells, but what are these?
Oh, no. From memory, that was a project on a previous film.
Okay, and then you have rounds in the back here. You know what those are?
I can't see.
It's hard to see.
Okay, dummy. I see dummy blanks. Shall I circle it?
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Right there. Yep. It says 45 ACP dummy blanks.
Now, when you say dummy blanks, is that another type of round, or are they dummies and blanks?
Instead of chambering a dummy round, it's better to chamber a dummy blank, an inert one-piece extrusion. And it's a safer way of doing it. If you know, we have a call at some point in the action where somebody needs to chamber a round that is inert. Dummy rounds are problematic in semi-automatic and automatic firearms. And if upon repeated chambering, the components can come loose. So Joe Swanson came up with this invention, which is a dummy blank.
Dummy blank, okay. And what is these tools on the back, the yellow and green?
One is an Allen wrench set. The green one is a Torx set.
And what do you use those for?
Again, it would just be the yellow-handled ones are used commonly to attenuate the flash of semi-automatic and fully automatic weapons.
Defendant's BB, is that, what is that equipment or device right here?
Those are a pair of vices, small vices.
Is that your gun maintenance table as well?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now, defendant's S, is this, do you recognize that?
I do.
And is this your box as well?
It is.
Are those live rounds?
Yes. Well, the box, I remember writing 45 long Colt and thinking, this is odd not to write dummy or blanks or specify what it is. It's 45 long Colt because it's 45 long Colt live. And I don't need to write live, it's just live.
45 long Colt, okay.
Yeah.
And defendant's V, can you tell the jury what that is?
Those are Joe Swanson blanks.
Defendant's AA, again, we have those Mauser boxes at the top of that font, and that's a Joe Swanson font, is that right?
Those are definitely Joe Swanson boxes and fonts.
Okay.
That I commonly see from him.
Okay. This is defendant's Y. And again, let me show you the overall picture. But you see that?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell the jury what that is?
That's that same wooden shelf holding blank rounds.
Okay, and again, we have at the top these 300 blackout. Is that the Joe Swanson font?
It is.
Okay. And you see some of these boxes, they got the JS, like on the 9mm.
I see that. Yes.
Okay. That's what I was noticing before. But you said there are some of them and some of them.
I notice, bless you, I see the JS, but I do, if it's omitted, it's not, you know, it's just not something I notice.
Okay, and I want to show you defendant's X now. What is this picture?
That's that same wooden shelf.
Okay. And defendant's W, can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, that's the top of the black bookshelf that's adjacent to the wooden cabinet.
Okay, defendant's Z, can you tell us what that is?
Same wooden shelf.
Okay. What are the rounds on the right in this bin here?
Those are small bags of 25, more than likely it's 25 ACP and 32 ACP bags of blanks.
Okay. Defendant's U, again, these tools?
It's the same, yeah, same Allen wrench set and Torx wrench set on top of the maintenance table.
Okay, defendant CC, you see that?
I do.
And this box over here, is that a Joe Swanson?
It is.
Okay. And these fence shells, what are those? What caliber?
I can't tell from this photo.
Okay. Do you know what these fence shells were doing here?
I don't recall.
Well, those are the kind of thing that can be reloaded, correct?
Yeah, unless a case is torn or it's become brittle and started to fracture, you can reload it.
This is Defendant's T, and that's, is this the live ammo from 1883, that box?
It is.
Okay. Now I want to show you Defendant's N27, and I'm going to show you that upright, but then I'm going to turn it around. Is that your writing on the blue box?
It is.
Okay. And Defendant's N29, is that that same box?
It is. It's one side or the other. Because, yeah, both have a label just like that.
Okay.
Both ends.
Okay. Now, a couple more questions on the prop truck that I forgot to ask you. When you were going there, do you recall telling Sarah to put a piece of tape over the safe?
Yes.
Okay. And what was the purpose of that?
Well, I wanted to make sure that nobody got into the safe before the law enforcement showed up.
One last series of questions on the disagreement that Hannah and Sarah had, you were talking about earlier. And that was over the negligent discharge, or accidental discharge, you called it?
Accidental discharge, yes.
Okay, sir, do you recall telling Hannah that Sarah was her boss and not to push it?
Yes.
And you were basically telling her to back off, reporting anything? Okay. Shoot, I'm sorry, jeez. Sorry, Judge. Siri picked up this thing. Do you recall telling Hannah something like to back off because she wanted to report to production?
It wasn't that she wanted to report it to production, because Sarah had already reported it herself. That was the issue.
Okay. But in any event, you told her that she should just move on.
Yeah.
Okay, Your Honor, may I have just one moment? Okay.
More raw courtroom audio from the Rust Alex Baldwin movie shooting trial is on the way.
Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment.
From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Despiértate, que el $4 breakfast meal deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un sausage McMuffin o sausage biscuit, hash brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moto Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prize. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1,000,000 SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Despiértate, que el $4 breakfast meal deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un sausage McMuffin o sausage biscuit, hash brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Ahora en McDonald's, te puedes llevar un $5 McChicken Meal Deal o un $6 McDouble Meal Deal. Así, hay algo para todos. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu Meal Deal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Ahora en McDonald's, te puedes llevar un $5 McChicken Meal Deal o un $6 McDouble Meal Deal. Así, hay algo para todos. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu Meal Deal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Despiértate, que el $4 breakfast meal deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un sausage McMuffin o sausage biscuit, hash brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moto Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prize. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1,000,000 SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Ahora en McDonald's, te puedes llevar un $5 McChicken Meal Deal o un $6 McDouble Meal Deal. Así, hay algo para todos. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu Meal Deal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Capture your favorite summer feeling with Pandora jewelry. Discover a collection inspired by the sunshine, freedom, and moments that make the season unforgettable. From sun-kissed metals to personalized pieces ready to be engraved with your summer mantra, each design moves with you. From beach days to golden nights and every memory in between. Shop Pandora jewelry's new summer collection in-store or online at pandora.net. And let your summer unfold.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are,
and that's who we care about.
Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. The social casino.